My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Welcome to our study of the book of Romans. Romans is one of the more encouraging, one of the more challenging books in all the Bible, but it has one major theme. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Christ coming to the earth, dying for sinful man, that's what the book of Romans is all about. The good news of Jesus is God's power to save people today. If people are going to be saved, Romans proclaims it will only be by the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the major recurring themes throughout the book of Romans is the idea of faith. There's been much confusion over this in the religious world, but if we let the book of Romans tell us what kind of faith it's talking about, it'll be so much clearer to us. We learn at the very beginning and at the very end of the book of Romans that Paul is talking about the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26 at the beginning and at the close and everywhere in between. When Paul discusses faith, it is always an obedient trust in God. When he talks about Abraham or when he mentions David, we learn that these men were right in the sight of God because of their obedient trust, their faith in God. They were so convinced of who He was and His commands that naturally they obeyed His will. And so the type of faith is always obedient. My friends, as you look throughout the Bible, faith is always an obedient trust. Let me give you an example. Joshua chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30. The Bible says the walls of Jericho fell after they encircled them for the certain amount of times God told them to. The walls fell after, by faith, after they did God's will. Faith was not just a mere mental acceptance. It was their obedient trust in God. And that's what faith is in Scripture. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your paths. It's that obedient trust in God. Hebrews 11 verse 1 teaches us that faith is not a leap out into the dark. Faith is based off of substance, and true faith is based off of evidence of who God is. And thus we get faith today, not by some mystical or magical feeling in the night. Rather, we get faith by studying the Word of God. You know, if we let the book of Romans tell us what faith is, we can also let the book of Romans tell us how to gain this faith. Romans 10 verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friend, if a person is going to have faith, it'll only come in one way, and that is by studying, by reading, by understanding about God and His nature, and learning through the Bible to trust Him and take Him at His Word. You see, the Bible says in Romans 14, verse 23, that whatever is not of faith, if we're not convinced of it, if we're not sure of it based on Scripture, whatever is not of faith is sin. And friend, the only way to gain faith is for each individual person to study the Bible for himself. This is why Paul said to Timothy, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get out the Bible, study, learn about God and how He dealt with people throughout history. Learn to trust and obey Him. And that's the true type of faith in Scripture. Please also understand that when we talk about faith, the kind of faith the Bible discusses, it is never, faith in Scripture is never a mere mental assent, mental acceptance alone. In fact, the Bible says that that's not pleasing to God. The only time the word faith and alone occur in the Bible, God says the exact opposite of what many in our religious world are saying today. In James 2 and verse 24, James is writing about a true type of faith, not a dead faith that doesn't get out and do anything, but a true type of faith. And he says faith without works is dead. James 2 verse 24, we see then that a man is justified just as if he'd never sinned, justified by faith and not, or by works and not by faith alone. And so it's not mere acceptance alone. That's not the kind of faith God speaks of in the Bible. It's always combined with obedience. And friend, the value of faith cannot be underestimated. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 4, that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Because we're God's children, we can overcome through our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, this is the victory we have, even our faith. And so understand, it's essential to understand the book of Romans that you understand the type of faith we're speaking of, Paul's talking about, is always an obedient trust in God. Now, to the heart and core of Romans chapter 1 and much of the book of Romans, Paul discusses the major theme from the outset. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. Notice these verses, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The Bible says, "For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is the heart and core of the message of Romans and really the message of the Bible. Acts 2 and verse 36, one of the key verses in Scripture, Peter in the first sermon says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." If people are going to be saved, it'll only be by obedience to the gospel, the good news about Jesus. You see, my friends, the good news is Jesus came to this earth and died for man, sinful man, so that we could have the hope of salvation. Do you remember the words in Matthew 1, verse 21? "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." His name is Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He's going to save His people from their sins. Luke 19:10, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Think about what Jesus did for me. And here's the good news. Jesus was willing to die on the cross for us. He was beaten. He was laughed upon. He was mocked at. He was spit on. He suffered horribly for us. He was crucified on the cruel cross of Calvary. Died in pain and agony because He loved me. And He loved you so much. That's the heart and core of God's plan of salvation. Jesus dying on the cross. And friend, the Bible teaches that the only way people can be saved is by obeying the gospel. Matthew 7, verse 21, the Scripture says it's not everybody who just looks up and says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to heaven. Jesus said, "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Obedience to the gospel is a necessity. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not even doing the things which I say?" It's the hope of the gospel that's God's power to save. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Here's the hope. Jesus died for me, and I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to go to a sinner's hell. That's the good news that saves mankind. And friend, it's the gospel by which we're born again. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, "In the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we also die to sin. We bury that old man. We rise out of the watery grave of baptism to live a new life, free and clean in God's sight." And so Paul tells us very clearly the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Now, chapter 1 is going to tell us that the Greeks, the Gentiles, are in need of this gospel. Chapter 2 is going to tell us that the Jews were probably standing back, cheering Paul on as he rebuked the Gentiles. They're in as desperate need of the gospel as the Greeks are. So both Greek and both Jew, Jew and Gentile, are both in need of the gospel. And we learn in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that the need for the gospel is seen in the fact that God's wrath is against sinful man. I want you to notice Romans 1 and look in verse 18 at what the Scripture says. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Why do the Gentiles, the Greeks, need the gospel? Here's why. Because God's wrath is one day going to be released against sinful men. And because men should not go to hell, because God doesn't want that, they desperately need the gospel. Friend, we're pleading with you today to obey the gospel because we want you to go to heaven and we don't want you to suffer the wrath of God. Psalm 7 verse 11, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked. God gets upset when people live in sin. Hebrews 10 verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For Hebrews 12 verse 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. I read in Nahum 1 verse 3 about God, how that when His justice comes, He's not at all going to acquit the wicked. Wicked people aren't going to get to escape the wrath of God. Jesus said the unrighteous would depart into everlasting fire. Mark 9 verse 44, it's described as a place where the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched. Man is in need of the gospel because our God, although He's a loving God, is also a God who gets angry at sin and promises to punish those people. Now I want you to notice in Romans 1 verses 19 and 20 that another reason these people, the Greeks, Gentiles, desperately need the gospel is because they're without excuse. There is no excuse for these people not to obey the gospel. God has made Himself known, and they need to be looking to obey the gospel. Now, turn your attention to Romans 1, and look again in verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, because what may be known of God is manifest or made known in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, notice this, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. How? Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for anyone today not knowing God and obeying the gospel. How? His eternal, His invisible attributes are clearly seen in the things that He's made. You can't help but be impressed with the words of Psalm 19:1 following. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the earth, and all there is shows His handiwork. You can go out at night and look at the sky and the stars, view nature around you. You won't learn everything about how to obey the gospel, but you can know this. You can know there is a God, and you can know that you need to find Him and search for Him. Acts chapter 17, verses 20 following. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Acts 14, verse 17. Paul said, as he preached in the area of Lystra and Iconium and Derbe, Antioch, Paul said that God, He has made Himself known. He's not left Himself without witness. He's given us fruitful rain and fruitful trees and seasons. And those seasons are a witness to declare God. Look at the way the world works. Look at the way trees bear fruit. The cycle of life and nature itself is proof there is a God. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God. Not evolution, not a Big Bang theory. We didn't evolve from apes. You can look and know by common sense there is a God. You see, the Scripture says, the real fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so man is in desperate need of the gospel because we are without excuse. God has given us ample information to know He exists.